Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Trail Running Podcast, presented by RunningRaccoonRacing.org, an online coaching service to get you from 5K to ultramarathon and all the distances in between. For more information, go to RunningRaccoonRacing.org. I'm your host, Jacob Hopkins, and with me, as always, is my business partner, my friend, my cohort on Crazy Adventures, Christopher Heberle. Chris, say hi to the people.
Hey, people.
So, there it is. There he is. Good to hear from him. So, we actually had an idea to create fantasy ultra running, fantasy trail running, some sort of fantasy running thing. And as per usual for us, we drug our feet on it, and it actually worked out really nicely for us this time because the wonderful people over at Free Trail, Dylan Bowman and company, actually created fantasy running for us. So now we don't have to do that bit. It's pretty nice of them, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it's perfect. We just let somebody else do the work.
Let them do all that, and that's the hard work, right?
That's the thing is, they get the pay, though.
I mean, yeah, certainly. I don't think there's a lot of money coming in just yet. But the good news is we get to do what we just kind of really were more interested in doing, which is talking about the runners and the races. And so hence we have this podcast. And we decided on our first episode to make it the most challenging, at least in my opinion, race pick'em of the whole entire calendar year, which is Western States 2022. How do you feel about this one, Chris?
This is a stacked course. Like, there is just... the entrance list is wild. Trying to look through these, there's just so there's no front runner that's breaking out. There's no Jim Walmsley, like
right. You don't get that easy pick, right? You don't get that one at least easy pick.
Exactly.
You've got to got to put your thinking cap on, and even then, it's ultra running, so that may not mean anything.
And there's just so many people like in such a tight cohort of capability that it's going to be really hard to make a solid pick.
Ton of killers, and we're going to get into that and break down our picks. Since right now it's only really Free Trail that's kind of leading the way and leading the format, we're going to lean on them. As other contenders come in, we might try to broaden the horizons to help facilitate your picks across different formats. Yes. But so right now we're using the Free Trail format, and that is you pick your top five on the women and your top five on the men. And so we've made our picks. I think we each maybe included a couple people who we think... we're going to use the term dark horse. I don't think dark horse is fair when
sleepers.
Yeah, sleepers maybe. Even that's probably not fair when the field is this stacked. But we got to call them something, right?
I don't know. I had to go pretty far down the list. And my dark horse is pretty far down the list.
Okay, so. I like that. You're going deep cuts, man. Yeah. I don't think I really went super deep on any of my cuts, that's just, I think, telling to this race. But to start, we're going to typically discuss just briefly the course. So I think everyone probably listening is ultra running or a fan of ultra running, so you probably know the Western States course. But still, we're going to go through the exercise of it all. In the Western States is a net downhill.
It is a net downhill.
That's deceiving, though, sometimes, right? Right? Because, mathematically, it is net downhill, but the reality of all these races is that's not the truth.
I will say, I guess that the side benefit is that most of the downhill is at the end, is the, last half. So
it's true. Yeah. And there's always talk about, quad busting and things like that. I personally don't think that's going to be a problem for the elite field. No. I think that's probably more for, us.
Yes, exactly.
That's our problem.
The scrubs trying to...
Yeah. And I get it. You've slaved up a couple of these climbs, and you want to try to make up, quote-unquote, make up your time back, so you're just going to bomb these downhills. And that's not for everybody.
No. It is challenging in that regard because most of that up is at the beginning.
Yes.
You push yourself too hard through that section, and then you don't have anything left for that downhill. So,
A lot of people, maybe the elites maybe have emptied the tank occasionally before they actually knew they were emptying the tank on the escarpment coming straight out the gate. Yeah. Definitely a lot of the more amateur runners have lost their race unknowingly at the beginning.
First 2 miles.
That's always an interesting component to this, right? Because I would say naturally people would want to take that a little more conservatively. And in the past, particularly Jim, has not allowed that. So if you want to try to stay in contact, in the men's field and compete, you kind of had to push a little probably faster than what you wanted going up that.
He's broken a few fields of,
yes.
of entrance.
And then it doesn't stop there. I think there's like at least two other quite significant climbs. The Devil's Thumb, I believe. Yeah. It's around like, what, mile 45-ish or so. It's like right before 50.
I should have looked that up.
And then going up to Michigan Bluff, I believe, is the other fairly intense climb. And there's a bunch of...
There's little ups and downs.
Yeah, ups and downs and punchy stuff in between. Yeah. But I think those are the three big ones that can make or break a difference. And you know what they say? Traditionally, the race doesn't actually start until mile 62.
Absolutely. Then that push happens.
Then the push happens. And I suspect maybe that'll be more true this year than it has been in the past couple years because Jim's been so far in the lead. I think this year it's probably going to be pretty tight. And
I think this is going to be a dogfight this year.
That aid station.
On both the men's and the women's field.
That's a really long aid station, too, because, like, you're running down the street, like your crew can see you coming in, and they can help, so you can do like some on the fly crewing, then you stop, do whatever you need to do, like ice fest, those kinds of things, and you take off. I think it's going to be a little more NASCAR Formula One maybe this year, because I think it will be a little tighter. It's going to be interesting to see who's doing what.
It is going to be interesting because there's not going to be that spread, that stretch, it is going to be people close together fighting, trying to take every little minute they can.
So. Correct. I guess the other thing with the course, it's more weather-related, but it is a constant at Western States, and that is the temps, specifically in the canyons.
Heat and sun.
Heat and
sun,
that's true.
The other thing I was thinking about is that, the intensity of that sun.
Yeah, I know I'm definitely not elite by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know that me personally, the sun on me, directly on me, affects me way worse than heat does.
Absolutely. 100%.
I slowly 100%. Die.
Yes. I get paranoid. I start getting like freaking out when I feel the sun on me too much. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little freak out, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay out there long enough to get you some hallucinations.
Like,
and
I need some trees around
a
me.
A dash of freak out. Yeah. I like that. You keep things exciting for yourself. So, yeah, that's all I really have from the course, unless you had anything specific that stood out to you.
No. Yeah, I think we have runner-specific stuff that we think the course is going to affect. But
That's true. Yeah, we'll get to that then, I guess, when we get to those runners in particular.
Absolutely.
So let's go ahead and break it down. We'll start with the women's race, and then we'll switch over to the men's. So starting with the women's.
Actually, just want to interject. Yeah,
interject, please do.
On ultrasignout.com, correct. I know that the entrance list, when they put it up, when it's full, it's based off, you know, how successful they've been in any plethora of races.
Yes,
so if you have like...
You get your percentage.
You get your percentage. And if you have one runner running one race and they win that race, they're going to be at a high percentage. And if you have somebody who has a ton of races, they're going to have a mixed. But I just want to point out that when I pulled this up, the top three of the overall entrants are women.
Interesting. I mean... Dude, the women's field is nothing but killers, man. When I was looking at it, nothing but killers. Absolute, like, killers row.
Dominant
death
runners.
Row of, like, just, like, crazy runners.
And some names.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The men's is going to be competitive, no doubt. The women's, though, that's going to
be more.
Wild.
Yeah.
So who do you think? You want to start from the bottom and work our way up, or you want to start top, work our way down?
So I actually don't have a 1 through 5.
Oh, okay. You just got
I could not pull that out.
I gotcha.
I have top 5.
Top 5. That's fair. I did. I went ahead and did the painstaking part. You guys are welcome, of giving you a 1 through 5, so you could also copy these picks if you so choose. Now, the likelihood of them being correct, hard to say because it's ultra running. Anything can happen, but I'm gonna go out on the limb with my 1 through 5. Well, then let's just hear which. Let's just go through your top five then.
Okay, my top five. If we're starting from the bottom,
okay,
I guess
it doesn't
have
to be. We can start from top bottom.
Okay, whatever. I did notice that we both have.
Yeah, you don't have a top or bottom, so it doesn't matter.
I don't. So I've got Ruth Croft on here.
Oh yeah.
I am really impressed with her.
Yes.
I think this is her year.
Yes.
She was second last year.
She was second last year.
In her first time at 100.
Yes.
That was her first 100-mile race, and she came in
insane.
Second. Like, I think this is her year. She's also been seemingly running strong. So
I'll go ahead and interject because Ruth Croft is my, in fact, number one pick.
Yeah.
She is who
and
I think was going to win.
She is my number one as well.
Okay. For all the reasons you just said, second last year. She's been on a tear, and from what I could find, her lowest finish on Ultra Signup is fourth place.
Yes, yes.
Ridiculous.
Just insane.
This is a ridiculous athlete right here, man. I just the way she's been progressing, it just doesn't make sense to bet against Ruth.
Yeah,
it really doesn't.
I think this is hers to lose. I think
that's true. Yeah.
In regards to any running, I was like, earlier Jim Walmsley, like before he like took that field
he
for himself.
Figured it out, yeah.
I think this is where she's at. I think that she is in that capable space.
Absolutely. And as we progress, I do just kind of want to point out, this is like, we're not trying to hate on anybody or anything like this. This is what happens when you have a whole bunch of talented people.
Yeah,
you just
exactly,
got to make some guesses.
Yeah.
And we just think it's Ruth's time right now.
Yeah.
All right. So next on the list.
So I guess my second is, I kind of have two.
Okay.
So Casey Lekteig is running.
Yes.
I love Casey. I love her journey and her racing. And so she was, I think, 10th last year, 21st overall.
She was 10th and 21st, yes.
Yeah. I just, when she's running strong, she's hard to bet against.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like she had some challenges.
Yes.
And she's come through those. And I feel like she's in a place where if she has her day,
yeah,
she's going to be hard to beat as well. I think Ruth has it overall, but I think she has a really strong contention for second. Maybe even fighting for first if things go sideways for both.
Hilarious. We did not, just full disclaimer, we have not discussed our picks with each other.
I just looked at your shit.
Yeah, we made a point to try to not influence each other. So this is the first time we're hearing each other's picks. Casey is my number two as well for, like, exactly what you said. She has a litany of first place finishes as well.
Yes.
This is a proven runner at the highest levels.
History and tenacity.
Absolutely. And yeah, sometimes it falls apart, as it does for everyone a little bit. It was tough because I could see her easily being the favorite. But once again, I just think, trajectory right now, it seems like Ruth is a little bit more on an upward, steeper gradient,
exactly.
I guess
exactly,
you might
yeah,
say. So
yeah.
Casey's also my
she's on an escarpment.
Yeah, she's on the escarpment. That's correct.
This was a hard one for me to pick. But I actually have Camille Herron down here and this is no longer in an order of any
kind.
Yeah,
this is just in the top five.
I really think she's been kicking ass this year, after again previous struggles.
Yes.
She's actually my dark horse.
Interesting. Okay.
She's my dark horse because, I don't know. I just, based off how she's been running, I feel like she has a shot to do something this year.
I have Camille as a dark horse as well. She's my dark horse number two. And it's because Camille is incredibly fast. If this was a flat course, if this was a track, like 100%, she's number one. She might even be number one overall, like, you know, men and women.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just how good Camille is on the flat. I don't think Camille has the climbing legs, not compared to the other ladies. I don't think she can compete with, like, what Ruth can do and Casey and some of the other ladies that I'm about to, and you're probably about to talk about. Last year, she struggled something fierce. I think she needed, like, a two-hour nap or whatnot
to
finish.
She did. But
and that was her first finish.
But she still finished 26th?
Yeah, which is...
Or something like that.
It speaks to her speed, right? She got to that point, crashed and burned.
So I think based off what she's done this year for building, that's potential.
There's also the issue, too, where she figured out her nutrition.
Yeah.
And she was lacking some nutrients and things like that, and she's been working on that.
Absolutely.
I think that is showing in her performances this year and hopefully will, for her, will show... You know, this Western States as well. I have seen it online. A lot of people think she's going to take the overall. I don't think, to be honest, if I'm being 100% honest with everyone, I don't think she's going to crack top five. Probably top 10, maybe. Not top five. But, I mean, Camille's got a history, so if you were to put it up there, who's to say you're wrong? Yeah, I just don't think for the victory.
Yeah, no. I don't think for overall, for sure. So my other picks on here, I had Alyssa McDonald.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She has lots of races, lots of wins. She has a first overall at the Whiskey Basin, which was nice. Kind of a weak field, but she beat Drew Fraze, who came in ninth in Cocodona, yeah. And fourth in the Mogollon.
Okay.
Mogollon, however you say that.
Mogollon. I was too busy giggling, but I've got you now. Okay. Mogollon. Mogollon Monster.
Yes. So she is another one of my potential contenders.
Okay.
I think she actually has a shot at maybe being top three, based off what she's been doing. Also on my list, I have Lucy Bartholomew, just because nice. She's Lucy.
You can't bet against it.
She's a Joker card. Like, yeah. She could go either way.
You don't know, man.
Yeah, we just don't know how she's going to do.
Lucy is my number one dark horse. I had her in the top five, and I was like, Lucy hasn't really, really raced in like 2 years.
Yes.
So I'm like, that's...
But she's run a couple of FKTs.
Yeah, she's done some FKT stuff. Yeah. This year, she was third female at Broken Arrow 11K. So she's putting the legs back in. In 2019, she was 15th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's got experience here. She's, like you were saying, she's got the grit, the tenacity.
I wouldn't bet on her for top three.
Yeah, just because I think she's been out of, really competitive racing for long. I think she just needs a little bit of a time to get back into that.
She could also surprise people.
That's the problem, right? Like, I don't think Lucy is the kind of person who is going to mentally break.
Yeah, no.
I just don't think it's possible. No. So I think Lucy, if she's feeling really competitive, will race until physically breaks.
Yes.
So
she's gonna hurt something.
Yeah, and if she doesn't physically break, then of course she could end up, you know, doing really well. But yeah, it was hard. It was hard to. I'm a fan of Lucy. It was hard to throw her down the dark horse.
I just love her so much as a person.
Same.
That, like, I want her to succeed.
Same.
So much.
Same. That's why I had to step back. Take off my fanboy hat and be like, no, she's not top five.
Exactly.
But it was a sad moment.
So the last person I have on my list, and this is, she's probably fifth on my top five.
Okay.
Is Camille Brias? Brias?
Mm, okay.
She's top three two times at UTMB. She has a lot of really strong race experience. She is the one that I think the heat could be a problem.
Okay.
Because all of her races are
cooler weathers,
are cooler European races.
Yep.
And I think she comes into the desert and tries to run. I mean, her body, I think her legs, her body, I think she could crush this course. But I feel like the heat could be a problem. She's one that could potentially take it all.
Mm-hmm.
Or she could bomb out and DNF.
Just burn up.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some phenomenal athletes push the limit in the heat.
Absolutely.
Eat them up if they're not
ready.
Cool. Well, we know my top two then is Ruth, followed by Casey. My number three is Katie Asmuth.
Oh, I struggled with that one. I almost put her in there.
I feel like she's definitely in the top five. I don't know exactly where. That's why I was like, all right, third seems like it's probably reasonable. She was fifth last year.
Yeah.
She won the Sean O'Brien 30K, Black Canyon 60K, the Bishop High Sierra 55K all this year. Yeah. So she's having a phenomenal 2022.
A few Sean O'Briens.
Yes. So, but then not also, you come into that question too, is it too much racing before Western States?
That's
or is it just the right amount? You know, it's hard to say, like her coach, all that. They're the only ones who really kind of know. But I think she's definitely probably going to put down a good performance.
Yeah.
Number four, Brittany Peterson.
Mm.
Fourth last year. It's kind of funny. I think she's going to be fourth this year again. Not a bad place. I would be pretty stoked to be fourth. She was second at Javelina, obviously behind Camille, who I believe course record. And once again, to come up behind Camille on a flat-ish course, that's saying
strong.
Something. Because, that girl can fly. And then she ran a 4:07 at the Marin Ultra 50K. Man,
dang.
I mean, like, anytime you're around a 4-hour mark on a 50K, you're flying. You're flying.
That's so fast.
It's so fast. So that's pretty incredible right there. So I think she's going to put down another great performance. And my last one, this is where I struggled. This is where I had Lucy until I decided to go with like my head and not my heart, and that is Leia Yuengling. Yeah. What I like about her is she races East Coast and West Coast. So
she's our people.
Yeah, she's our people. Like, so it just from what you look, terrain doesn't bother her. Technical terrain doesn't bother her. She can climb. You know, she's used to heat and humidity. She's used to heat without humidity. She's used to cold. She's used to wet. Like, she just seems to be an all-around good ultra runner.
She's like the utility runner.
She really is. Like, and she is almost always top three. She might actually be the most consistent runner, or like the most well-rounded runner, I guess, out of the entire field on the women's side. And I believe she just had like a great performance at Broken Sky, I want to say. But nevertheless, yeah, that may be a name I think people are maybe a little less familiar with.
Yeah.
But do not be surprised if she is top five.
I almost put her in as well. Katie Azmuth were both.
That's where it starts to get tricky, right?
Yeah.
It starts to get tricky at those points. And then, of course, my dark horses. We've already talked about them. Camille and Lucy. Whew, that was a hard bit of picking right there,
dude,
man.
That stretch of runners is so tight.
Yep. So let's move over to the men's, where we've been teasing that it could be easier, but it's really not that much easier. you know, our give me of the gym, Walmsley, is not here, so now we had to dig deep and figure out where these men are gonna fall. So, Chris, you want to hit us with
all right,
what your first pick is? He's over here cheating. He's looking at my pick.
I am looking at your pick. So I struggled again also with creating any type of semblance of a list. And I actually have less of a list here than I do with the women's, because I was so solid on Ruth Croft for the win.
Yeah, that's a good pick, I think. You can take that one to the bank.
Yeah, for the men, my top, I struggled. I really like Drew Holman. Actually, he was third last year.
That's a solid pick.
He's been first or second in almost every race he's done, and some of those are pretty major races, so I really like him a lot. Second to him was Hayden Hawks. Established presence, and he was first in the Bryce Canyon 60K this year, which is a big race to then transition into Western States. I think he's got a solid shot. So those two are my sort of pseudo
first, second,
pseudo top. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. My first pick is actually Hayden as well. Hayden has been kind of chasing Walmsley for a lot of his career.
I mean, there's a couple of pretty big races they've done together.
Absolutely. So, and Hayden always holds his own, throws down. He doesn't let Jim have an easy time of it. He has kind of imploded a couple times, but that's, you know, that's the price you pay when you're running at the tip of the spear.
If you're pushing hard.
He won the Bryce Canyon 60K. That's always a very competitive race, so that's a good sign. He was fifth at OCC last year.
Yeah.
And so that's always nice when the American men can actually do something over in the European soil. Correct.
So steep.
I believe 2020, he beat Walmsley's record at the JFK 50.
Oh, really?
Which is a super contested time. You know, a lot of guys go there to try to like smash that record. Hayden's got it. And then he was eighth at Western States in 2021, which is not a bad finish at all, especially with the casualties that happened that year. So I think now that crazy pressure of Jim going out and just foot on the gas, I think he can control the field. I think he's going to be in the driver's seat, and that's just going to play to all his strengths.
I think that's going to be the difference maker.
Yes.
If he can come out and run the race the way Jim ran the races for so long, because they're not that different.
They really aren't.
And so I feel like he's just one little micro tier down from
Jim.
He's
working his way up to that.
Yeah, and so I feel like, to your point, if he can go out and run that race, if he can drive it to how he wants to run it, I think it's his. Drew could potentially take that from him if he pushes.
Drew's
it too
a good
hard,
pick as but, well. I don't have Drew on my list, but that's a good pick.
They could fight. Also, Tim Tollefson is in it again.
Ooh, it's a hard one to bet against.
It's a hard one to bet against. Like, it's Tim Tollefson. Like, he just
does stuff.
He really does.
He really does, dude. He just goes out and does it.
He's one of those staples, right? Yeah, the staples of the last couple years of American ultra running.
So I feel like he's there. So he's definitely in my top five.
Okay.
I feel like he has that potential.
Tim in the dark horse for mine.
Okay.
Which also hurt. It hurt kind of like Lucy hurt. You know what I mean?
I won't.
Yeah. Tim's been working on his his whole mental health, you know, separating his his worth as a person from his worth as a runner, and
just so hard in these
areas. It is, and I think maybe I think we're gonna see much better results from Tim now that he can separate those two, and then like now he doesn't have to have those finishes.
Yeah,
I'm just not sure if this is that moment. I think we still need a little bit of time for him to fully come to terms with what that means, and just the prestige of Western States, you know, it's going to be hard to just let that be.
It's hard to not be chasing that buckle,
right?
And that burns a lot. Wants
that cougar, man. You want that cougar,
exactly. It's just one of those. I think he needs a few more probably like innocuous races first, where he can, you know, let that be its own thing. But I can't bet against him being in the top five.
I mean, that said, last year he was fifth.
That's what I mean,
fifth, and that's like. He's still having these like struggles,
and
like once again the notoriously hot year. So it's like,
I still think he's going to be fifth.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. I think. Yeah, it's a good pick.
So my next two actually were a struggle because I have.
They're all struggles, man. They're all struggles.
Michael Dubova.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting.
Didn't really know a lot about him, but I started looking up. He's just got some potential. Let's see, I wrote this in here. So he's run the Barkley, a couple of different versions of the Barkley. Yeah,
like the Fall Classic and things like that.
Yes, he ran the Fall Classic. He came in first. He did the 20 miler and came in second. These are both last year, I think. Maybe the Fall Classic was 2021.
Okay.
And then the 20 miler was this year. And then he's just got several races where he's been first or second. This was the thing with Dubova. His thing, and this could be his undoing, which is why I have him in my dark horse category.
Gotcha.
He has a tendency to run a race the first time and be semi-successful, like top 25% kind of thing, and come back the next time and win it.
I got you.
Or come in second.
He's one of these guys who likes to get the experience, and then he's able to come back with the knowledge.
Struggle, or he's maybe too cautious on his first attempt out. Like he's just wanting to finish, and you know,
knowledge is power for this guy.
Yeah. So that's my thing with him. I don't think he's gonna, you know, take it or anything like that. I think he could stretch and be in top five, maybe, but he's my potential dark horse.
That's a legit dark horse pick right there, if you ask me.
I actually
me.
Have three
dark That's horses. A legit dark horse, it though, is. Right there.
Yes. I have three dark horses.
Okay, wow.
My other dark horse is, I just have it written, Arlen fucking Glick.
So I also have Arlen as a dark horse, man.
He's just one of those people that there's just... If he's there, he's going to do something.
Arlen, I wrote down, literally, this is all I wrote down for Arlen, because, you know, we took notes on everybody's just so we could remember. For Arlen, the only thing I wrote down was, wins everything. That's just it, dude. Arlen wins everything.
But more specifically, thinks he has no business winning. Just go out and decide to run a race and win it.
Yeah.
It's just insane. So.
He's an interesting dude. Very fast, very tough runner.
Yeah.
Almost unassuming in a way, which almost kind of makes him dangerous.
Yes, absolutely. Because you're like,
oh, there's Arlen. But like, I feel like the unassuming part now is kind of gone because everyone knows. So like, you don't get to fly under the radar anymore, Arlen.
He's no longer an unknown.
Right. People look at you and go, oh, okay, Arlen's here. Yeah. Shit's going to get real. So
he's coming into his own in that regard.
Right.
I think he's got a shot to do something. I don't know what that is, but I think he's going to do
something. After this year, I think next year probably is a bigger threat if he so chooses to come back.
Exactly. 100%. Last one on my list, my sleeper,
ooh,
Kyle Curtin.
Okay, wow, yeah.
I like him a lot.
Deep cuts, bro.
Yeah, he was my deep cut that I was talking about. He won the Cruel Jewel 50.
Yeah.
It was a really hard race.
That's not fun. I mean, it is fun, but it's not fun.
He was 13th overall in Western States 2021. And he was 11th at the Tour de Gents.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which is a brutal race.
That is that's not for the faint of heart.
That is not for the faint of heart. That is an insane race.
It is.
So I don't know. I think he seems to...
That's a durable guy right there.
He's a very durable guy. I think if he can hold his own in the heat, if he can not get caught up in the the super fast guys,
sure.
he's more of a slogger, I think. But if he can get...
Just keep the wheels turning.
Exactly. If he can keep the wheels turning and pick people off as he goes, I think he has a shot to do something. Maybe top five.
All right. Those are some good picks. A lot that surprised me. If you're listening, you got some deep cuts on that one.
I told you.
Some of those are surprising to even me. So, but I like that. I like that. You're doing the homework. So my number two is Tyler Green. Mm. He came in second last year. Yeah. He was 10th at TDS last year as well. He kind of flies under the radar because, once again, I feel like he's another kind of unassuming guy. He's very, like, kind of soft-spoken, just real chill. And I think sometimes it's, it's easy to kind of overlook those kinds of people.
Absolutely.
Tyler Green also is not what I would consider an aggressive runner. He's not the guy that's going to go out and try to, like, grind everyone else into dust. He's a very smart, calculated runner. That's how he ended up in second last year. He was like he was running way back in like 12. Oh, yeah, I say way back, but you know, for the elite, it's way back 10, 12, 15. I don't know.
He
worked
just,
his way up.
People off, slowly. Is it? Yeah.
And I mean, I think even at the river, he still wasn't in second just yet. He was just really smoothly choosing the moments to make moves and stuff. And I think, there's a possibility for chaos amongst the men this year with no clear quote-unquote leader.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys might get caught up in some craziness, and I don't think Tyler's the kind of guy to get caught up in someone else's race, which could potentially, be a benefit. And I think it might yield him second again.
I think in any of these races, if you can just keep in your own head and not get caught up in other people's bullshit.
That's so hard.
It's so hard. I'm the least competitive person on a general basis, but if I'm out running,
when you get into a race, man, there it is.
Yep. You just get caught up. It's so hard.
Especially when you see somebody that you kind of feel like you should be hanging with leave you.
Yes.
And even if you suspect strongly that person's going to blow up, there is a part of your brain that screams.
That little animal voice just...
You're not going to see them again.
Yep.
And Tyler just apparently doesn't have that. Or if he does, he's able to shut it up. And just say, stay.
Turns that switch off and just stay. Puts the blinders on and goes. Yep.
Number three is going to be Adam Peterman. Boy. Yes. Man. He's completely dominated 2021. Like, every race he was in, domination. It's insane. Only loss of 2021, and I use loss in quotations, was the Pikes Peak Marathon. And if I'm not mistaken, he came in second to Seth Damore, which, good on Seth. I feel like Seth, like, that's his race that he always likes to target, Pikes Peak, and so he trains a lot out there, basically the terrain. Definitely punched above his weight, I think, smoking Peterman on that one. This year, Peterman won the Chuckanut, which is always pretty competitive, and Canyon's 100K. So the Canyon's 100K also shares some of the Western States course, so he's got to see some of it now. Adam Peterman, if I'm being completely honest, could win this whole thing. Very well could win it.
Man, he does have a stacked history.
I mean, yeah. I believe...
short period of time.
Right? Like, look at all those first place finishes.
Just started in...
Yeah. Just out of nowhere
He's young. 26.
Merkin races that he comes in.
Wow. Okay.
David Roach calls him Adam Peterkide instead of Peterman. And I think, you know, that's probably pretty apt for what this guy is.
Well, I'll tell you that.
Sky could be the limit for this guy.
Well, I overlooked him.
Yeah.
I didn't even look at his name.
Dude, Peterman, do not sleep on this guy, even if Western States doesn't come together. When you see that name on the starting list, just know that something might go down. It was like him and Arlen Glick, dude. Those two guys could potentially be the next wave of just like insane runners.
Just like gotta wait and let it happen.
Yep. Number four is the protege, Jared Hazen.
Mm.
You know, Jared's had a rough couple of years, races. I don't know, you know, exactly. Hasn't been at his best. He was third at the Canyons 100K. That tells me he's trending back up again. He was second at Western States in 2019. It would have been course record had it not been for his running partner, Jim Walmsley, beating his own course record. So I think this could be a good opportunity for Jared to show what he's capable of, to very much in the same vein of Tyler and Hayden and all these other guys, to run the race he wants to run. And I hope he has a good performance this year. And number five, this was probably one of my hardest ones. I picked Cody Lind. He was fourth last year. But yeah, you were going to put him down?
No, what's so funny is I didn't put him on here for some reason, and I'm not really sure why, but on my first forum that I had, he was there. One of my ones, because for whatever reason, and I don't know why, but he's one of those people that I see his name, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
He's somebody that I want to bet on.
I mean, because it doesn't always come together for Cody, but when it does, it comes together hard, yes. Right? So he's a tough character one.
He's like first to last.
I mean, yeah, he's when they come together, that guy's hard to beat. I think may not come quite together this year just because I think the dynamics, once again, are going to be interesting. Yeah. But I think he's going to good. He was fourth last year.
Yeah.
I've got him fifth this year. I think he's still going to run a solid race.
The rest of the field is so strong.
Yeah, I think that's really more of the problem. It's not necessarily him. I think it's just everyone else. It's so good. And then, of course, like I said, we went over my dark horses. I also picked a deep cut, though. I had a deep cut for the men. Scott Traer. Second at Black Canyons. Always does well at Desert Solstice. He seems to run that basically every year. And he's always you know, winning second place. He's up around the podium, basically.
Always a bridesman, never a bride.
Sorry, yeah, you know, he's right up there. So I just don't think he's going to be top five, but he's one of those people. Yeah, if things get crazy up front, just sneak on in, and suddenly everybody's like, Scott Traer? Like, yeah, bro.
This is what I love about this whole situation. It's really no different than, you know, I guess it's similar to, like, NASCAR in a way.
I don't know much about NASCAR.
I don't either, but I'm just thinking in terms about what I've seen. But I love this concept of these, like, underrated runners, these dark horses who have so much potential sitting there, and they're not getting the accolades, they're not getting what they want, but if things go right and things go wrong for this other field, because that top field, we've seen it blow up so many times, and one of these people that's a little further down the list just keeps on trucking, pokes on through.
Runs a smart race.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like to use your analogy of NASCAR, that's totally it a lot of times, right? You've got two options. You can try to run the smart race, or you can try to just go all out and see what happens.
Yes.
And you get a little mixture of both. And so it's always interesting to see how that plays out at the end of the day, because there's still no rhyme or reason to who wins or loses. But
I guess Jim is the primary example of this.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I mean, his whole ball game approach to his whole career has just been, I'm going to go out and see, the pedal is going to be down to the floor, just trying to see what I can do. And I'm either going to do great things, or I'm going to crash and burn.
Correct.
And you know, when he does great things, it's insanely great things.
I wish I could remember
when
who
it's bad,
I was.
He's getting lost on 49.
Yes. I wish I could remember the interview who it was, but he was talking about, like, after college, he moved out there. He was hanging out with all the Coconino boys, started trail running with those guys, and he was saying every training run, Jim would just gas it from the go, dude. And he's like, if you couldn't keep up, Jim just kind of be picking at him, because those are his boys, right?
Yeah.
And that's totally his mentality. That's why I like watching Jim run. I think that's why a lot of people like watching Jim run. Funny enough, though, that's also why some people don't like Jim. It's because they want to see smart racing. And I do too, but I feel like smart racing is no fun if you don't have people who are pushing it. You know, like you gotta have both.
You look at any sport, like literally any sport, and there's gonna be those people that are fun to watch because they're doing wild and crazy things.
Yes.
And they're the ones,
quote unquote, fundamental, you know.
Yes. They're setting big one-off scores. Yeah. They're setting big things. And then you have the other, like, methodical, by the book, playing every, going out and doing exactly what they need to do to survive and succeed and, you know, going methodically.
I mean, last year we saw 1 and 2 were both the ends of the spectrum. The guy who goes out super hard and crazy just to see if they can hold on with Jim. And then we had number 2, Tyler Green, who runs very smart races all the time.
Exactly. So, and if Walmsley had burned it a little bit too bright and bailed out, Tyler Green would have won.
Tyler was right there to strike.
And that's how it works.
That is how it works. And, I mean, you need that to keep the thing exciting, right?
I think that's what makes sports of all kinds fun to watch.
Correct.
Because you have those two types fighting against each other.
Yes.
And all it takes is that perfect example last year of those two. Because it could go either way. It just depends on so many different little variables. But.
And Western States, probably as far as ultra running goes, is one of the... I guess premier places that this kind of plays out because of all the different little variables of heat and what such and such do on a climb and all these things, and you've got the different personalities of how they like to run the race.
And it's such a marquee course that like it draws a lot of people.
This is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is the Super Bowl of ultra running. Some people say UTMB is the Super Bowl. I think UTMB is the World Cup.
Yes.
It's a bigger thing where the Americans are sort of only semi-involved, but the rest of the world, like, that's a big one.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, but, like, Western States is the Super Bowl.
It 100% is. 100%.
Which, unfortunately, UTMB, a.k.a. the World Cup, will be coming up soon, and when we do that, that's going to be such a cluster, right?
There's some really interesting names in that this year, too.
Yeah. So. We'll get into that soon. So, do you have anything else you would like to throw in here last minute? I think we've...
Only that I am really excited to watch this Western States this year, probably more so than any recent year, just because of that. I mean, you always want to see somebody, you know, putting down a course record or something. You know, anytime Jim or somebody like that is involved, Killian's in something, you know.
Right.
You're always wanting to see something magical happen. But from a pure racing perspective, I'm very excited to watch this race.
I agree, just because it feels super unknown.
Yeah, it feels like a real race.
It does.
Like,
it does.
You don't know what's going to happen.
It does. Yeah. I know a lot of people always poo-pooed, but it was like the easy pick was Jim the last 3 years. I don't care what you say. Yes. Deep down in your heart, even if you were a Jim hater, you knew.
Exactly.
You knew that was the pick.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with some of y'all Camille fans. Y'all know deep down that she's probably not going to win, okay? Like, it's okay to be a fan. Just we're talking reality here. And when we're playing fantasy sports, you got to be bold.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, I've got my picks locked in. The picks you just heard, I've got them locked in over at fantasy.freetrail.com. Chris, are you telling me you have not locked your picks in yet?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
I need to go in and do that now.
Okay.
Actually, yes. So this is your perfect time. Join me and go lock in your picks at Freetrail.
At fantasy.freetrail.com. We're not affiliated with them. Right now, they're the only ones running this kind of thing that we're aware of. And once again, as more contenders come in, we'll start expanding and playing around with them. But right now, let's all go give Dylan Bowman some support. They're doing some really cool things over there. If I'm not mistaken, some cash prizes will be on the way. So he's making this thing happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be legit very soon.
You all right? So we're trying to go be on the forefront of this, the cutting edge, if you will. So this has been the Fantasy Trail Running Podcast. We thank you for tuning in to episode 1. We'll hopefully iron out the kinks in the future episodes. We kind of had to throw it together in some less than ideal scenarios today, but we're making it happen. So until next time, stay safe, stay running on the trails, and throw them picks in, man, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. Peace. We'll see you.